all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News. It's a Monday, February 6th, another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Zommer's standing by at our Madison studios at what is now Mad Radio, no longer Devil Radio. They changed the name and the marketing and the branding and everything. So Mad Radio is in Madison, the street. There's nothing mad about Aaron Zommer's.
Well,
not in the angry sense, you know,
yeah,
maybe
not in
more
the
like
angry
a mad
sense.
Scientist, you know, something like that, maybe.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Things might change when we move to our new State Street studio, and maybe I'll be a little more excitable, irritable. I don't know.
You're going to be something. We are. I don't think we've talked about that on air either, that Civic Media is growing so quickly that a whole new nerve center is going to be built, and Civic Media is going to be based on State Street right off Capitol Square. So we're getting some nice new visibility as well. All the tech stuff that happens when you're running a network of, you know, more than a dozen stations. Speaking of which, on a few of those stations in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Oshkosh, coming up just an hour from now on the Earl Ingram program will be a new Monday segment, Mondays at 8 a.m. called Under the Helmet with Gilbert Brown, a.k.a. the Gravedigger from Green Bay Packers fame. And so if you don't have that, if you're not listening on that station, you can listen through the Civic Media app, through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where every hour of our original shows are turned into a podcast for you to subscribe to and follow at your leisure. Coming up later this hour, a couple of U.S. Supreme Court decisions have done untold damage to American democracy by allowing corporations to have some of the same free speech rights as you and me, actual human beings. And frankly, the only way to stop the fire hose of corporate and billionaire dollars flooding into our elections is to amend the U.S. Constitution. That doesn't happen quickly. It's a years-long uphill process. But as long as corporations are people, my friend, as Mitt Romney fabulously said, then we need to keep working toward a very public execution of corporate personhood. And George Penn of the group United to Amend will join us later this hour to outline the problems, the solution, and what you can do to help. Also coming up, Terry Bell from the Civic Media Newsroom with three things that you need to know to start the week. Our phone number here is 844-967-2789. I want to again thank Dr. Kristen Lyerly for hanging around for the last hour, helping us wake up very early on a Monday morning. I spent the weekend in Kalamazoo with the two younger grandchildren, the soon to be 4-year old boy and about to be 1-year old girl, and took the 3-year old to an indoor place that is just filled with bouncy houses, all these different bounce houses that you can go into, jump around in, then go into the next one. And Grandpa here made the mistake of trying to follow the 3-year old into some of these places and maybe try to play with them or chase them around. And I was reminded in pretty short order why 58-year-old men aren't known for running in and out of bouncy houses and squeezing through tight openings to get into them. And I would again like to thank whoever the genius was who invented ibuprofen, because there was a lot of it consumed for the rest of the weekend. So thank you again for that. It was still a lot of fun. Love chasing the 3-year-old around, but really still trying to learn my limits. Let's see, we have a primary election coming up now, just 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So my absentee ballot came in the mail over the weekend. Be sure you reach out through myvote.wi.gov or talk to your own local clerk about either voting on February 21st and April 4th or getting an absentee ballot for it, for a very important Supreme Court race for the state Supreme Court that is coming up for an open seat that will determine whether conservatives or progressives control the court. If you missed the news late Friday, President Biden is coming to Madison this week, Wednesday. He's delivering his second State of the Union address tomorrow before Congress, and then hitting the road along with members of his cabinet. The president will be talking about job creation, here in Madison. We're not aware of any news or announcements that he's going to be bringing, but we'll obviously follow things anyway, just to make sure. He knows that with Republicans now controlling the House, their focus needs to shift from passing more legislation to implementing the infrastructure, the climate bills, the Inflation Reduction Act, and everything else that was passed in the last Congress, the one run by Democrats, the one that was focused on helping people and getting things done and making sure that Americans know the credit goes to the president and his party for the improvements that will be coming to the United States for years and years to come. Meanwhile, on the Republican side, the Koch brothers, through Americans for Prosperity, announced over the weekend they will not back former President Donald Trump in his 2024 campaign. A spokesperson for Americans for Prosperity, which has put untold millions of right-wing dollars into American politics, says the best thing for the country would be to have a president in 2025 who represents a new chapter. Lots of people are frustrated, but very few people are in a position to do something about it. Americans for Prosperity is, and now is the time to rise to the occasion. I mean, so full of themselves, they can publicly brag about how dysfunctional the system is, that this group of very wealthy people can control the Republican primary process. And former Republican Congressman Paul Ryan also says he won't back Trump in the 2024 campaign, in the least surprising headline coming up of the day. More headlines coming up in just a bit on Up North News Radio. I asked Aaron to play nothing but Grammy winners for our bumper music, and then proceeded to show just how out of touch I am by knowing I wouldn't know these songs right off the top of my head. So Aaron is again going to bail me out and tell me who we're listening to.
Well, first of all, to be fair, I wouldn't know these off the top of my head either if I hadn't looked them up just now. Okay. But this is Unholy by Sam Smith featuring Kim Petras. Okay. Yeah, that Dr. Lyerly told us about.
Yes. Okay. I will say this, and again, I'm a shameless advocate of local radio. Everybody should while they have it. But you know, people in local radio need to stop wishing away satellite radio. It's here, like cable TV, like the internet. It's part of, you know, the whole landscape. So I'm going to mention XM radio for a moment and say a word of thanks that they created a special Grammy channel over the past several days. And, you know, I had 7 hours of driving out to Michigan at the start of the weekend, 7 hours driving back yesterday. So yes, I did hear that. I heard the Beyonce one, Break My Soul, which I really liked. It's got a great message about, you know, taking care of yourself and not essentially, you know, living just for your job. DJ Khaled and others, apparently their big hit was called God Did. And I don't know if it won any awards. I was not as taken by that one as others, but I will say that as an older person who does not listen to a lot of the new music that comes out, having a Grammy channel like that was extremely helpful, so I could at least sample some of those tunes. That Sam Smith one, yeah, I was not expecting that from Sam Smith, and I did not know Kim Petras, but like Kristen mentioned in the last hour, gave a very moving acceptance speech for her Grammy, talking about being the first trans woman to win in that category. There was just a lot of hope, a lot of reason to be optimistic about people, mostly because we didn't have to hear the word woke from others who don't want to be as welcoming or inclusive. So all in all, a good broadcast and a, you know, a mostly good batch of songs. Sports over the weekend, the Badger men's basketball team lost to Northwestern yesterday, 54-52. The Bucks beat Miami on Saturday. Giannis had a triple-double, 35 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists in beating Miami 123-115 on Saturday night for the Bucks' seventh straight victory. Now they have finished that four-game homestand from last week, and the Bucks begin a rather demanding stretch of their schedule with a three-game West Coast trip starting tonight in Portland before they return home next week to face the Eastern Conference leading Boston Celtics in a game on Valentine's Day, so Tuesday of next week. Marquette men's basketball team is now ranked 14th in the country. They beat Butler on Saturday, 60-52, for their fifth straight win. Marquette remains tied for first place in the Big East, tied with number 16 ranked Xavier. The Golden Eagles have won 10 of their last 11 games. The only loss has been at Xavier, and now Marquette and Xavier will face off again February 15th. At the Fiserv Forum. So a busy time if you're a basketball fan in Milwaukee next week with the Bucks game on Tuesday against the Celtics. And then the very next night, Marquette taking on Xavier. There was the NFL's new Pro Bowl weekend thing over the weekend. Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen was one of those many stars who said, well, I can't take part. You know, he cited an elbow injury. And yet there he was playing golf this weekend in the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which tells you the level of respect the players have for the Pro Bowl. Apparently there were three flag football games and a skills competition, but the only highlight anybody showed you was the one time that there was a tackle made during the flag football game when somebody was about to run into the end zone and one of the defensive players, you know, just put a shoulder right into him to try to knock him out of bounds short of the goal line, which frankly is how you should play flag football. You know, yeah, you go for the flag most of the time, but if you can knock them out of bounds short of the goal, you know, why wouldn't you go for that? I mentioned President Biden being in Madison. That'll be on Wednesday after tomorrow night's State of the Union address. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was interviewed over the weekend because, as I mentioned, other cabinet officials will be out across the country this weekend as well. And the theme is going to be about the things that got done in the past 2 years, especially when you consider all the challenges that were out there. Look, President Biden's opponents and critics make a lot of noise. I mean, look at how unhinged they became late last week and over the weekend over a balloon. So they're loud, but the substance of their remarks can't hold a candle to the actual accomplishments of the past couple of years. And this is what Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg had to say about that.
He's got a lot of things to tout. Why do you think that it has not penetrated the American public?
Well, look, these things don't sell themselves, and it's one of the reasons I'm really looking forward to that State of the Union address. I will say that there have been so many accomplishments under this administration, it can be difficult to list them in a distilled way. Recently, the president hosted a send-off for Ron Klain, the departing chief of staff, and he put it in a way that I thought was especially moving when you think back in historic terms to what it means to inherit one of the toughest situations faced by any president since FDR. Passed the most significant legislation on our economy in many ways since FDR, while facing the largest land war in Europe since Truman, achieving the second most important health care bill since LBJ and the most important infrastructure bill since Eisenhower, as Ron put it. And that was just the beginning of the list of accomplishments. But one of the things that we found is that this is happening simultaneously with some of the toughest circumstances ever. We recognize that. And there continue to be a lot of issues that Americans are facing every day, even as we see extraordinary economic news. 500,000 jobs just created in the last month.
Well, that's
month.
The thing. None of it seems to accrue to his benefit.
Well, people say politically. That, but then, this president has exceeded expectations again and again politically and functionally.
He's got a lot.
And then that was Pete Buttigieg answering a question from Chuck Todd on Meet the Press yesterday. Let's again pick on that number that the secretary mentioned. Over 500,000 new jobs that came out in Friday's jobs report. Do you know what the consensus expectation was for that report? That about 185,000 new jobs would have been created in January. And instead, the number was more than 500,000. And it leads to this point of contention or debate among economists, among those on Wall Street and everything else. Are we going to get the so-called soft landing that everybody wants to achieve? Because we went through, of course, the bottom dropped out at the start of the pandemic. It was so poorly managed, by a Trump administration that was in denial. Then you had President Joe Biden elected, a Democratic Congress come in, put massive relief into the economy to, you know, stem the tide, to bring things back up. We have the lowest unemployment in over 50 years. But of course, that's accompanied by inflation as more people are getting back to work. And so now you have rates, interest rates being hiked up to try to cool off that rapid rise in inflation. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, you're always going to have turnover. People are always going to be, you know, getting hired or fired. Interest rates will do what they do. But do you have that soft landing where from day to day we go on with life and say, huh, I guess we came out of that all right? And that jobs number on Friday certainly leads many to think that we may be on our way to that soft landing or experiencing it right now, which again is not to say there are not daily ups and downs, but we're not hearing the breathless reports about, you know, gas prices went up and then the next day gas prices went up and the next day gas prices went up. And I don't recall hearing any of that same coverage as the gas prices were coming down. They just did. And people got on with their lives. And that's what we're trying to see here as people continue to, you know, they do continue to struggle. There's always going to be some that do. And the question becomes, what are you doing to help those folks that are facing problems from time to time? And I would point you to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story from over the weekend that talked about the pandemic aid that is going away now. And as a result, some families that were brought up out of poverty are going to be falling back into it. And the Journal Sentinel story, you know, starts by talking about a 30-year-old woman and her 11-year-old daughter standing in a food pantry one cold morning in January, you know, as they wait to pick up their various staples and such. And, you know, as soon as I start a story like that, I can already hear people saying, oh, well, you know, she's got an 11-year-old, she's got a 1-year-old, she's got a newborn, you know, why doesn't she work? She does. She works in group homes assisting elderly residents, 4 to 6 hour shifts during the weekdays, 12 to 16 hour overnight shifts. Her schedule is always changing because nowadays there is no consistency in work scheduling. And as a result, her paycheck varies widely from week to week, but not to the point where she can't make ends meet from time to time and needs this food pantry. Now, again, during the recession, the federal government announced an extra allotment of food share assistance, but that's just going away completely. There's not this transition down. There's not the soft landing that we're giving Wall Street and everybody else. For folks who were on the knife's edge, who did all right with an expanded child tax credit, that just went away. Republicans wouldn't agree to extending it or anything else that would make the transition easier. And Wisconsin legislators continue to oppose expanding Medicaid, continue to oppose making Badger Care stronger so that more people have the certainty of health insurance coverage. And so lacking that, these are folks who will continue to rely on assistance. Even as the economy improves, there will always be that population that we could do a better job in helping them get back up on their feet, but we have politicians who are choosing not to. The National Democratic Party is upending decades of political tradition and giving a big overhaul to the presidential primary calendar as folks look ahead to 2024. And it's a lot easier for Democrats to do that when you have an incumbent in office likely to run for another term. And so it's not creating great upheaval among, you know, an entire pack of candidates at this point. But what's going to happen now is instead of leading off with the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary, instead, the primary circuit will begin February 3rd in South Carolina. Then New Hampshire and Nevada will follow on February 6th, Georgia on February 13th, and then Michigan on February 27th. The whole point of this is to take it out of the two states that are, you know, extremely rural, extremely white, and make the presidential primary process more reflective of the diversity of the country, and to have national issues that will help determine the outcome of the November election better than simply Iowa and New Hampshire, said Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, a Michigan Democrat who had been pushing for the changes. Now, nothing in Wisconsin's going to change in that our presidential primary is tied to our usual April general elections for spring nonpartisan elections, but it's still worth noting that you'll have a Midwestern state, Michigan, pushed up a little bit in the calendar, and a whole calendar that folks are going to have to get used to come 2024, assuming that this all withstands any challenges from the folks in Iowa and New Hampshire. We will talk to George Penn of United to Amend about fixing the Constitution to get some of this big corporate money out of presidential politics and other races, coming up next on Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
We are playing Grammy winners from last night, heading into our segments. Aaron, what are you bringing us this time?
This is Broken Horses by Brandi Carlile.
Oh, did she give a good performance last night on that one? Yes. So, again, highly recommended. It's among my many downloads that are coming up later today. Here's something else that you can download at some point, and that would be a podcast of our various shows. And the one you're really going to want to follow is the one coming up in just a matter of minutes here on our stations in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, and Green Bay, as Earl Ingram is joined by the Gravedigger, Green Bay Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Under the Helmet will be a new segment that's heard every Monday at 8 a.m., so be listening for that. As we turn back to the problems that are that come from so much money in politics, and let's remember again, for example, Ron Johnson has never been above water in terms of popularity, and yet he's won three elections. And if that doesn't tell you something about the role of money in politics, I don't know what else will. People are familiar with the Citizens United decision that led to it, but there was actually an earlier Supreme Court decision known as the Buckley decision as well. And in between those cases and others, really the best fix for this is to get rid of this notion of corporate personhood. And that's going to take an amendment to the Constitution. Thankfully, there are some folks who are working on this more frequently than the rest of us, basically doing the prep work so that we can eventually have this kind of an amendment to consider and vote on. And George Penn is one of those people from Wisconsin United to Amend, and he joins us this morning. George, thanks again for getting up early and joining us. It's good to see you. Good morning.
Thank you, Pat. Glad to be here.
We're going to talk about the proposed amendment in just a moment. It really seems to say it all, and it's going to sound like such common sense, but we're going to set up the problem at first. And George, you can tackle this in any way you want. If you want to talk about what Buckley did back in the 1970s and then Citizens United, or the other way around, or maybe there's another decision or two. When you explain the history of how things got that bad, how do you set it up?
Well, actually, when we give a presentation, we talk about three court cases. The first one is in 1887 was a California railroad company. And they created the myth that a corporation is a person. And that has been through the courts has been exacerbated over the years. And then 90 years later, you referred to Buckley, where they created another myth that money is speech. So those two things are the core, what should I say, axes that are cutting our democracy apart. And in 2010, as you pointed out, Citizens United brought the two of those together in a concise statement that says, hey, you politicians, you state law officers, you don't have any right to control money in any way. So it opened up the floodgates. Those are the three cases we use, but there are many cases. We have like a 14-foot map that we used to put up on the walls that show the cases, but it's those three cases that do it. And those three cases are the basis for the language of the amendment that we have in Congress.
Yeah. And the to me, the ironic thing is that the Buckley v. Valeo decision back in the mid-1970s was actually supposed to be, or was, I think a lot of people thought it was one of those Watergate type reforms, but it had that unintended consequence of, you know, saying that money is the same as free speech, which I, of course, have railed out against repeatedly on this program, that money does not equal speech in terms of its function. You only have one voice, but some people have many more dollars than I have. And you even had, Russ Feingold and John McCain working on campaign finance reform, and McCain-Feingold, was not able to overcome its many legal obstacles as well. So I feel like we've really set up the premise that a constitutional amendment is the only silver bullet we have here.
No silver bullet there, Pat, but I do believe, and that's why I work so hard, that of all the reforms we're going to need to get our democracy back, this one is necessary. It is, we can't do it without it. If we don't get money out of politics, I can fix fair maps, I can fix voting, I can fix all those things, but even if I fix them, they're not going to be durable or anything else. So this amendment is primary to the reforms, yet inadequate.
Yeah, it's going to take so much more, that you refer to it as a movement. And we're going to talk more about the movement on the backside of my reading this amendment. So bear with me, folks, but I do want to put it out there because it just says it all. It's pretty straightforward. Section 1 is about how artificial entities such as corporations do not have constitutional rights. It says, the rights protected by the Constitution of the United States are the rights of natural persons only. Artificial entities established by the laws of any state, the United States or any foreign state, shall have no rights under this Constitution and are subject to regulation by the people through federal, state, or local law. The privileges of artificial entities shall be determined by the people through federal, state, or local law and shall not be construed to be inherent or inalienable. And everybody knows about inalienable rights from the Declaration of Independence, George. So before I get to Section 2, just talk a bit about the importance of setting up the clear difference between a person and an artificial entity.
That's clear, because now the corporations and all kinds of entities are claiming things that override and overrule our freedoms and our wishes. Just to give you a small example that's outside of the money, in Massachusetts, the state had created a law that you cannot put a sign for cigarettes within 1,000 feet of an elementary or middle school. And it took them years to get that passed. What did the corporations do? They went to the Supreme Court and said, we're people, you cannot limit our speech. Therefore, we are, and the Supreme Court said, you're right. You can put the signs anywhere. There's lots of cases like that, that corporate personhood is destroying this country even beyond the money and speech.
Far, far much so. And by the way, being against corporate personhood doesn't make you a socialist. It doesn't make you anti-capitalist. In fact, this corporate personhood, in my view, is perverting capitalism, in the way that works best for most of us. Section 2 of this proposed amendment is basically says that money is not free speech. And it says, federal, state, and local government shall regulate, limit, or prohibit contributions and expenditures, including a candidate's own contributions and expenditures, to ensure that all citizens, regardless of their economic status, have access to the political process, and that no person gains, as a result of their money, substantially more access or ability to influence in any way the election of any candidate for public office or any ballot measure. Federal, state, and local government shall require that any permissible contributions and expenditures be publicly disclosed. The judiciary shall not construe the spending of money to influence elections to be speech under the First Amendment. And then finally, a very short Section 3, nothing in this amendment shall be construed to abridge the freedom of the press. George, I'm going to be very straightforward. When I was in the legislature, I kept saying, this sounds like a great idea, but at the time I had not seen any proposed amendment, and I thought the language was going to be the thing that really tripped people up, that if you don't word it just right, courts are going to unravel it. But now I've seen the language that I just read to folks here, And I don't know what it is that people can't get behind unless you're a billionaire trying to buy elections.
That's right. Most people do get it. You know, they don't do any polls right now because the things that are in the news are trivial about Trump and all this other garbage and voting. But when they did the polls before Trump was elected, every poll from about 80% to 95% of people said, this is a problem. We need to get rid of it. As long as there's money in there, we're not represented. And that's why we need to get the fact that they can't spend as much as they want to on these elections, because we are not heard by those who can't run because they don't have the money.
Yeah. When you hear the first part of that section two, that says government shall regulate or limit or prohibit contributions, including a candidate's own contributions and expenditures. I know some people right there would say, oh, wait a minute. If you're running for office, you should be able to spend however much of your own money you want. But then the language goes on to say why you need that prohibition, because again, money is not speech. And the billionaires Dick Eline and Diane Hendricks had so much more speech than anybody else did because of the tens of millions of dollars they could put into super PAC ads that promoted Ron Johnson. It is just, to me, all these nearly 50 years after Buckley Valeo, still I find it boggles the imagination that people would think money and speech are the same thing.
It boggles mine. And for 12 years, I've been working on this, and we've had this introduced in the Congress every session since 2013, never got in, taken up. And so we just have to keep telling people that we need to do this, and we need to get people out there working on it.
And that's why you say it has to be a movement, because this is not something that can be done with simple majorities, neither in Congress nor among the states. George, but people might say, oh, we just need a majority in 2024. But it's a very high bar to pass a constitutional amendment, isn't it?
Should be. And it is. And anybody that wants an amendment needs to work their asses off. Mm-hmm. And we like it that way. We as citizens should like it that way, because you can do so much bad with this. So yes, it's a high bar, and we're not afraid of it.
No, but to get there is going to require plenty of Republicans in this case. And I'm sure about 100 years ago, it would have required Democrats instead, who were the ones fighting progressives, way, way, way back when. But in this case, it's enough Republicans are going to have to say they have had enough, they have seen enough, so that this gets the required margins to get through the House and Senate, and then go to 3/4 of the states. So all of those legislatures and or voters will, have to have their say in there. So it really is a movement. So what kinds of things, do you do, and what do other groups do to really kind of turn this into a movement?
Well, just like past movements, it takes many characters, or what's called actors. And there are two main actors. They're called reformers and change makers. Reformers work in the system. Right, we need politicians who are going to introduce bills and stuff like that. That's a reformer. We consider ourselves change makers. We work outside of the system, educating and bringing the mores and expectations of the citizens into demandingness. And that takes a long time, and that's what a movement is.
So if folks have heard this and they would like to help you in some way, shape, or form, what are the best ways, or the best way that they could go about doing that?
Well, talking to us and figure out what their interests and their skills are. So I'd say go to our site. It's real simple, wiuta.org. That's wiuta.org. And you can contact us from there. Or heck, give me a call, 608-244-6436. We are that available and that determined.
And again, the website, WIUTA, WI for Wisconsin, United to Amend. So WIUTA, Wisconsin United to Amend, WIUTA.org is what gets you there to learn more. I'm sure that you are kept busy with speaking functions here and there, just to build this up probably one small group at a time in the beginning here.
Well, we've passed 169 resolutions calling for this constitutional amendment in Wisconsin. That's of 840 nationally. This is a national movement, or it's no movement at all. And we want to get 269, 369. That's how we build movement power, by getting our voice heard.
And so speaking of, turning it into a movement, this is something we're going to do. My feeling is every other Monday, we're just going to take on something called Movement Monday. We've talked about Motherhood Monday, where Motherhood for Good, those folks are going to join us every other Monday. On those alternating Mondays, I think we're going to take some time to talk about the movement, to get big money out of politics, to clean up our maps. We're going to talk to Carlene Becken from Fair Maps Wisconsin 2 weeks from today about that, and then reach out to other groups as well to essentially build this movement and finally clean this up, if not for ourselves, then at least for our kids and grandkids. George Penn, thank you so much. Pleasure talking to you, and hope to be able to visit again real soon.
Thank you very much, Pat. Have a happy day.
Thank you. When we come back, Terry Bell from the Civic Media Newsroom is going to join us with three things you need to know to start the week. That's here on Up North News Radio.
I feel like falling in love.
There we go. One more Grammy winner from yesterday, Aaron.
This is Cuff It by Beyonce.
There you go. Who became the winner of the most Grammys in history. Previously, it had been a conductor, a Hungarian-born conductor who kept winning Grammys for various things. But I think Beyonce might be a better. If you're going to create a Mount Rushmore of Grammys, I think you'd probably want to go with Beyonce on there. Terry Bell joins us now from the Civic Media Newsroom. Terry has made a huge mistake. We've been trying to get him to fix it. We couldn't communicate much on the three things to know for this week because you said you had to bring your computer into the shop where it still is. Have you never heard of Hunter Biden? I really think you should worry about what's being put on that computer, Terry.
I know.
It out of there.
I know. I was not thinking at all. I don't know. Any trouble that comes my way from this point forward is my own doing, really.
is going to be because that the laptop that's in the shop. Well, I hope it... Hope it gets out of there soon and operates too. Better than ever and safely. Let's talk about three things you need to know to start the week. We've talked about a couple of these throughout the morning, but these are three noteworthy things to have. And especially if you're in Madison, where you're listening now on Mad Radio, as Devil Radio is no more. We are now Mad Radio, 92.7 WMDX. Madison's getting a VIP visit this week.
That's right. President Biden will come to Wisconsin the morning, or actually the day after the State of the Union speech. This is a tradition that Bill Clinton started a few years ago. Presidents after that have pretty much carried forward that as sort of a way to keep the message in the news beyond Tuesday night. So what we do know is that the president and their high-ranking cabinet officials will be in the Madison area on Wednesday. And at this point, that's about all we know at that point. We expect more information today.
Well, and it's one of those where obviously we'll monitor. There might be an announcement. There might not be. We don't know. It might just be all about the speech. And even if it's that, again, there's a lot that can be said about it. And we'll simply follow what they do. Meanwhile, both of the parties have been in the news of late. Republicans for things we're still learning about 2020. Meanwhile, the Democrats are already looking ahead to 2024.
Yeah, the Democratic Party, the National Party, made some big changes to its primary calendar for next year. There will be not really any impact for Wisconsin, but we'll have the spring primary in April. What we're talking about for the Democrats is that the primary calendar is being moved around. Iowa and New Hampshire, not so much anymore as it has been in history. I think states like Michigan, South Carolina, some others will be among the first primaries in the nation. The Democrats say it's a reflection on where we are at now as a country, and this is a primary calendar that's more reflective of the country as it is today.
Which, we've been saying for, literally decades, is how did it get to be Iowa and New Hampshire? And, at some point it was going to need an overhaul. Somebody had to finally, bite the bullet or rip the Band-Aid off, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And, look, Joe Biden, his campaign was dead until the South Carolina primary, when a much more diverse voter base there understood his potential to win and to carry through on his promises. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that South Carolina got moved up in the primary calendar. But as I know, as I noted before, the Republicans, you know, we're still hearing about them in 2020. And that's, you know, thanks to some new audio that we were recently allowed to hear, thanks to the Associated Press reporting.
Yeah, this story dropped on Friday. A former Trump campaign staffer secretly recorded a debriefing shortly after the 2020 election, pretty much acknowledging that Trump had lost Wisconsin. Then they were trying to, you know, kind of circle around, see what they could have done better, see what they could do better next time. But also, at the same time, there was much discussion about promoting what we've come to be known as the big lie. Promoting notions of election fraud. And anyone, and I think this is the most damning quote from that recording, talking about, quote, stunts they need to pull. And that's troubling, disappointing, but that comes
because again, they mm-hmm. knew that that 21,000 vote margin in Wisconsin was good, and yet, yeah, they was it Andrew Iverson, I believe, saying, you know, but we're going to stand by in case there's any stunts that we need to pull, which again is such a cynical view of public service. And then to go on and they were laughing about their historically poor outreach to Black voters. In other words, they were acknowledging that, again, communities of color came through and voted, and that, you know, they just haven't. They said they were going to do more outreach, but they didn't. And it's something to note that they know their shortcomings, and yet, you know, continue to joke about them anyway.
Yeah, you would hope that there would be more of a conversation about, you know, how to better get the message to populations they haven't been reaching, but that really wasn't the tone of the conversations at all. Any efforts to comment on this have been pretty much passed around in the days since then, so we're not really getting any kind of clarification or even spin on what was heard on the recording.
So the third thing you need to know for this week is there was a balloon, and it was not the only balloon, but holy cow, again, if you're looking to not have to talk about your economic plans or lack of one, you'll seize on anything. You'll seize on M&Ms, you know, CRT, whatever it takes. And that balloon sure got more than its 15 minutes this weekend.
Certainly did, and I think the fact that you know, out of concern for people's safety, the Defense Department waited until there was an opportune time to shoot that down. But that just kind of kept the story in the news for a whole mm-hmm. week. And yeah, I mean, I don't mean to downplay the seriousness of what this balloon may have been able to, information that balloon may have been able to gather and such. But much political hay was being made where maybe it did not necessarily need to be. There is a lot of talk about the balloon being over the country for so long is supposedly being a reflection on the so-called weakness of the Biden administration, ignoring the fact that other balloons have gone over the country during other administrations. But this is the first time we've really heard about it.
And you didn't hear about the three that went over during the Trump administration. Instead, you have, you know, Mike Gallagher and his vest were everywhere over the weekend when they were notably absent over the other one. And again, you were able to shoot it down over water. We're going to retrieve much more information than they probably gathered on us. I think if anything else, it was politically motivated because they knew Republicans, instead of attacking China, would use it to attack the president. But those are three things coming out of the weekend. And Terry Bell, we appreciate as always. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. And coming up next, in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, and Green Bay, Under the Helmet with Gilbert Brown, the Gravedigger, joining the Earl Ingram Show. You'll want to be a part of that. Otherwise, in Madison, you'll be hearing Stephanie Miller. Todd Alba is next in Richland Center, Wausau, and Amory, along the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. Pull it up, cuff it up.